Now for our message for today, which I would call a sermon, but I don't think Gar would want it called a sermon. It's a message. Gar Smith, our speaker for today, is the editor emeritus of Earth Island Journal, co-founder of Environmentalist Against War, and director of the nonprofit Academic Publishing Company. He's a veteran of the Berkeley's free speech movement. He's been jailed for anti-war actions and has engaged in environmental campaigns on three continents. He's a Project Censored award-winning journalist, the recipient of the Health Journalism Award and the World Affairs Council's International Journalism Award. He's the author of Nuclear Roulette and The War and Environment Reader, and he wrote How the 5G Revolution Threatens Human Health and Nature. I give you Gar Smith.
Thank you to Joanne and all of the fine folks here at the Berkeley Fellowship for this invitation. And I look forward to engaging in a back and forth and a side to side after the speech when we have our workshop. I must say, looking out at the crowd, you're all looking radiant this morning. And of course, my chore is to make sure that we do not all look irradiated tomorrow. So forthwith my, as it were, sermon. In the beginning, the Bible says, God had a simple command, let there be light. But we've subsequently learned that illumination is not the only byproduct of light. It also can bring blindness, and it can burn. Nonetheless, today we have the corporate creators of the corporate lords of creation. They have a new edict that they're imposing upon us. It's not let there be light, it's let there be 5G. Now, 5G stands for fifth generation. It's the latest expansion of electronic telecommunications. But this, for the first time, means that we're going to be moving beyond microwaves. We're going to be getting into millimeter transmissions, which will be zapping our cities with king tides of unheard-of radiation exposure. The goal of the 5G promoters is to, you might say, seduce everyone into believing in this glowing altar of electromagnetically connected universes overseen by omnipotent, all-knowing entities known as the Internet of Things. We're told that 5G wireless will deliver a carefree heaven on earth where all our needs will be met through the watchful oversight of smart technology. Our smart lives, our smartified lives, are already being administered by electronic angels that are actually guaranteed to answer our every prayer. And you know their names, Alexa, Siri, Cortana. In this interconnected 5G world, the theory goes, every living thing and every electrically powered appliance will coexist in a state of interconnected bliss. Our homes will be more secure thanks to electronic monitoring of everything inside our walls, while spy cams mounted on porch doors will monitor strangers and neighbors alike. Our cars will be driven by unseen hands. Our homes will heat and cool themselves. Our refrigerators will tell us when to toss the lettuce and buy a new carton of oat milk. Our smartified lives will include devices to track our every move, our every heartbeat, and every online purchase. Hidden microchips will tell us when it's time to change a baby's diapers. How many mothers here have ever wished there were smart diapers? Show of hands? Just curious. Making lists and remembering things is a way to promote mental health. Do we really want to live in a world where our thinking is outsourced to algorithms? Is it really the future that we've been wishing for? Or this is merely the latest case of a powerful few dictating marching orders to the masses? I suspect it is. The Internet of Things, originally celebrated as one of the most empowering developments in the history of humankind, is now being contested. Some critics have even renamed this corporate-fueled fable the Internet of Things nobody asked for and nobody really needs. What we do need is to ask, is an Internet of Things really desirable? A culture built on things rather than people? Wouldn't it mainly serve to reward consumption, ownership, control, manipulation, and power? The cost of being raptured into the Internet of Things is not simply to be measured in dollars. There are fears of apocalyptic impacts on our physical and mental health. The journal Clinical Psychological Science reports that teens who spend 5 or more hours per day on their electronic devices are 71% more likely to have at least one risk factor for suicide. Meanwhile, the telecom giants stand ready to profit from turning every home appliance into an always-on 5G transmitter receiver, constantly compiling marketable data on how we spend our time and our money. To be clear, radiation alone is not a problem. Radiation is as natural as sunshine. Like all living creatures, we've evolved inside an invisible but completely natural environmental electromagnetic environment. But what we're doing here is adding new and unnatural burdens of radiation. And this is something like pumping toxic smoke into the air we breathe. And for this reason, many people are calling this electrosmog. Now, how much additional electrosmog has been added to the environment in just the past 10 years? Twice as much? Three times as much? Well, here's a shocker. This is from Ole Johansson, associate professor at Sweden's Karolinska Institute. His quote, "It's a quintillion times more. That's one with 18 zeros in the last 10 years. Because of the, quote, short, fragile nature of high-frequency 5G signals, the telecom companies tell us they need to install lots of transmitters, say 2 to 3 for every block. I think of these transmitters as elephants. They can carry huge cargoes of information, but they just can't carry it very far. So the need to install 5G transmitters every 300 to 600 feet. But wouldn't this make the so-called revolution look more like an invasion followed by an occupation? In a recent story, the New York Times quoted a public health physician who discounted the hazards of 5G transmitters by, of all things, stressing their inefficiency, noting that walls, buildings, rain, leaves can block high-frequency waves. He speculated, so if human skin also blocks 5G signals, maybe it's not that big a deal. Unfortunately, the concepts of if and maybe have no scientific standing. According to Professor Joel Moskowitz, director of UC Berkeley's Center for Family and Community Health, 5G radiation is absorbed by human skin, and long-term exposure is associated with skin cancers. Undeterred, Verizon and the other 5G promoters have already started installing what they hope will be more than 800,000 transmitters across this country. They'll be appearing on lampposts, electrical towers, and buildings. As Microwave Journal notes, while conventional antennas point horizontally, 5G antennas will radiate in many directions, even down into pedestrian walkways. As far back as 1976, the Journal of Epidemiology warned that children living near power lines and transformers were shown to have a greater risk of developing certain cancers. A recent government study warned that 241 different species of birds are currently at risk from present-day radio frequency exposures. Radio frequency radiation is known to harm plants, pets, and wildlife, including birds, bees, bats, reptiles, amphibians, mammals, and even earthworms. There are more than 1,000 peer-reviewed journals that have documented potential wireless radiation risks. Non-ionizing radiation has been linked to heart, brain, and adrenal gland tumors in animals. Livestock exposed to cell flour, if only, I'd rather sell flowers than sell cell towers. Anyway, livestock exposed to cell tower radiation have developed cataracts, cows with cataracts. Trees facing transmission towers have become defoliated. And this is why scientists for Wired Technology and others are insisting that 5G transmitters should be installed 200 feet above sidewalks and at least 2,500 feet from any school, hospital, home, public building, or park. Now, last month, T-Mobile announced in a big advertising to-do that it was launching its nationwide 5G network using powerful low-band 600 megahertz beams that could travel for miles and penetrate interior walls. Well, that sounds pretty imposing, but CNET just undertook a study in New York to see how well it was performing, and they discovered that the new technology didn't perform any better than T-Mobile's existing 4G methods. Now, here's the kicker. All of this stuff isn't really needed because, according to Fiber Optic Solutions, existing fiber optic cable can, quote, actually achieve higher maximum speed than 5G wireless systems. The existing copper wire and fiber optic cables also provide, quote again, more reliability, and they have less potential for interference than these huge beams of electromagnetic energy that Verizon wants to spread through the air. And as an additional bonus, these existing wired systems don't create electrosmog. Now, I've got a couple of graphics here on this table behind me, which I forgot to bring up. Excuse me a moment. This is designed to help understand the difference between the current wired systems and 5G as proposed. This is what we currently have. Shows how with wires and cables, the information that you're seeking only flows when you need it. It's like getting a glass of water from a faucet. It's simple, clean, and efficient. So what's the system like when we turn communications over to the 5G folks? It's more like this. With 5G, it's like everybody is being sprayed with a fire hose, whether you're thirsty or not, 24/7. So why the push to promote 5G? In his book, Reinventing Wires, Dr. Timothy Sheckley offered this explanation. The triopoly of Verizon, AT&T, and Comcast imposes artificial scarcity, planned obsolescence, and high prices to maintain their immense profits. It is in their interest to obscure the fact that advanced copper and optical fiber are far superior to wireless in both cost and performance. Close quote. Arthur Furstenberg is an academic who was forced to leave the city when he was diagnosed with electromagnetic hypersensitivity disorder. He went on to write a classic book, Microwave in Our Planet. According to Furstenberg, if the telecommunications industry's plans for 5G come to fruition, no person, no animal, no bird, no insect, no plant on Earth will be able to avoid exposure to levels of radio frequency radiation that are 10 to 100 to hundreds of times greater than what exists today. These 5G plans threaten to provoke serious, irreversible, this is one of those moments when you realize you've put the pages in the wrong order. irreversible effects on humans and permanent damage to all of Earth's ecosystems. Here's some bad news. Despite all the studies warning of radiation exposure risks, there has been no government research into the safety of this new technology. The FCC's safety standards that they're relying on are based on research that was conducted in the 1980s. Here's another problem. Believe it or not, Section 704 of the 1996 Telecommunications Act specifically forbids local and state officials from opposing new technologies based on environmental or health concerns. In 2018, the U.S. Conference of Mayors threatened to sue the FCC for sacrificing local control in order, quote, to streamline installation of 5G. Our local 5G watchdogs at Wired recently discovered that there are 20 pending applications to install these transmitters in Berkeley. 13 applications were approved, 7 were denied, and are being appealed. Some of these sites at immediate risk include Berkeley Natural Grocery, Lalime's, Pete's, 2 locations, Starbucks, Takara Saki, Nation's Giant Burgers, Berkeley Bowl, the Elmwood Care Center, Alta Bates Medical Center, Sutter Urgent Care, Thousand Oaks Tot Park, and Thousand Oaks Elementary, and of course the installations proposed right behind this building, due west. Here's the good news. More and more people are getting informed and active. In California, almost 20 cities have passed laws to halt the advance of 5G. In April, Mill Valley voted unanimously for an urgency ordinance to ban 5G from residential districts. San Francisco has blocked 5G transmitters on aesthetic grounds. Los Altos and Petaluma have banned 5G. And in Berkeley, Wired has been working with the mayor and the city council to fashion a draft emergency ordinance blocking 5G in the city. The draft should be released in a matter of weeks. Recently, Wired's attorney sent the city a cease and desist letter citing inadequate environmental review, and similar letters have been recently filed in Napa and Davis. So for more information on these transmitters and details on local, state, and federal actions underway to oppose them, you're all invited to hang around after the potluck and join us for a question-and-answer session and a workshop. And after that, quite possibly a brisk march to protest the nearby cell tower installation plan. Thank you very much for your kind attention, and stay radiant.